Good morning.
Good morning.
Very, very grateful to the Lord for his faithfulness to me and his faithfulness to you.
Yes.
The Lord has been faithful to every one of us.
Yes.
There's not a person here the Lord hasn't been faithful to. Because he can't be unfaithful.
That's right.
He just can't do it. Though there are some things that God can't do. And those things are be unfaithful. He can't fail.
Right.
He can't lie.
Right.
He's righteous. He's everything that we need, everything that we want, everything that we desire. We thank the Lord for that. I was praying today, and we had been doing a series on the gospel and what the gospel has been. So we've been doing, it's not necessarily that I decide that I'm going to do a series. It's what the Lord inspires us with. And so when I started reading some of the scriptures, the Lord started giving me lots of scriptures about what the gospel is. And it's very important for us to know what the gospel is because it's really all about Jesus. It's the story of Jesus. It's the story of how he changes people's lives. It's the story of how he's changed my life personally. It's the story of how he came down from heaven, how he was born of a virgin. It's the story of how he died on a cross and what the effect of that death means to us. It's a story about him walking this way like you and me, being a man, going through the day-to-day processes and problems and issues and people not liking him and people trying to manipulate him and people, all the things that we ever face, Jesus shows us, gives us an example of how to go through it. He was the perfect example. He said he was our example. What did he do? No sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So he tells us in the gospel how to live the kind of a life that he lived. And he gives us the resources to live that kind of a life. That's what makes it very important. If he did not give us the resources and he required me to live a life of holiness and he did not give me what I needed in order to do it, that would be unfair and that would be unrighteous. All right. But if he said, this is my requirement, it would be like me going to, this is a crude example, but it's the one that comes to my mind. I am going to enlist into the army, right? And I enlist in the army, and what they're telling me is I have to go and I have to get my own gun. I have to fly to the war zone. I get my own gear, my boots, and all this kind of thing, and I got to figure out how to shoot at the enemy and who the enemy is. Would that be fair? No, it wouldn't. It would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? And so here, what has happened is we've been set in this war zone. The devil is coming against. There's a war against good and evil. And we've been set in this war zone, and we wouldn't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I shouldn't have to buy my own boots or my own gun and my own weaponry. I shouldn't have to do that, right? Why? Because I'm enlisted in God's army. And so therefore, it is his responsibility, just like it's the responsibility of the United States of America, that if I enlist into their army or their armed forces, it is their responsibility to make certain that I'm trained, that I am well equipped, that I have a clear understanding of who the enemy is, and that I have a clear understanding of who my friends are. So in the same way, that's what God does. And this is what the gospel is all about. And so if I'm going to give a title to this discourse today, it would be At Midnight. And I'm At Midnight, the gospel in action. We'll put that in parenthesis, the gospel in action. And it's important for us because there are some things that I preach that are difficult. All right. It really is. There are some things that about the Bible that is easier said than done. Okay, so in even as we talk about the Lord giving us what we need in order to go through these things, there are still some things that are difficult for us to do. Even though we have the resources, we have sang in the special song that we have the resources and we have the Holy Spirit in us,
yeah.
And we can ask for it for what the Holy Spirit is. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the Spirit of God. And it's a powerful spirit. When it was a spirit that moved on the waters when there was a creation. So what that does when we are saved and we repent of our sins and we ask God to forgive us of our sins and we turn away and we don't do that anymore and we believe the gospel that Jesus Christ is able and was able to do all the things that he says he was able to do in the Bible, and he puts us in situations. Another point that I'll make is he puts us in situations that every situation that we'll ever face, generally, the principle of it is in the Bible. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It's not, and the principle of it is that there is somebody that went through it with victory, and then there's somebody that didn't. Oftentimes we find that we have a choice. Just like, are we going to eat of the fruit of the good knowledge of good and evil, or are we going to eat of the tree of life? We choose to eat of the tree of life. So with that done, we understand what the Lord desires of us, and we have a better understanding, or we develop a better understanding. So I want to start reading. This is Thanksgiving week, and I feel like the Lord inspired me with this particular thought. We're going to go to Psalms 119 and verse 62. Psalms 119, verse 62. I want to read that. That'll be the text of what we're talking about here. Psalms 119, verse 62.
At midnight, I will rise to give thanks.
I will rise to give thanks
unto thee, because of thy righteous judgment.
Because of thy righteous judgment, Lord, the Lord is righteous. Now, so there's a few points that I want to make out here. As it says here, at midnight I will rise. At midnight. So at midnight, generally speaking, now if you talk about me, very, very, very seldom am I awake at midnight. Very seldom. I go to bed. Now, there are some folks that I know, and I won't call some names, but I know who they are, that at midnight, they're just getting started good. And they're not going out and partying, but they're just late night people. I happen not to be one of those. If it's the sun goes down, my eyes start closing slowly. I'm ready to go to bed when the sun goes down. But at midnight, this is also a time where it's quiet and on the one hand, but at midnight, if you're sick and you're going through a very difficult place of suffering, midnight is not a good time for you, because it seems like I've been sick before, and I thank God I don't get sick very often, but in the middle of the night is when it's most difficult. Am I correct in that? For those that have been sick, it's the worst time is in the middle of the night. And so this is what the scripture is talking about. Lord, it doesn't matter what I am. If I'm despondent and there's no one around and there's no one that's, the pain is there and all of this. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold my head down and I'm going to be despondent about, woe is me. Life isn't fair. Why am I the one that have to hurt? Why am I the one that have to go? I either going to do that, or I'm going to get up and I'm going to thank the Lord for what he's done, even the pain that I'm going through. Now, this is why I'm saying what we're preaching about is difficult. It's easier said than done. I can stand here behind this podium and I can tell, oh, you just need to get up and you just need to praise the Lord. I can say that when I'm not hurting, right? And you can say it when you're not hurting. And it's not going to, and it's, oh, well, that's just the way that it's, but when you're in the middle of the battle, it is easier said than done. All right? But here is what we have to do. We have to understand, number one, that God gives us the power to be able to do it. If he requires it, he's going to give us the power. So what do? We call on his name and we say, Lord, I'm going to praise you no matter what's going on, no matter what I'm going through at the darkest moment of my life right now, at the lowest spot, I'm going to praise you. Give me the ability to do so. Help me to find something that I can praise you and thank you for. So this is what he's saying. What did he say? At midnight, I will get up out of my despondent state or my sleepy, drowsy, whatever it may be, or whatever I'm doing, I'm going to get up and I am going to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. God made a judgment about me, about you, about the situation that, you know, we have that scripture. It's one of our favorite scriptures, most of us. Romans 8:28. What does it say? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to God's purpose. God made a judgment that it was best at this particular time for you to go through whatever it is that you're going through. Now, you have made a judgment that I don't know. I don't see how it's beneficial. I don't know that it's the best thing. I wish my life would be a little bit different. That we do that, right? But the Lord, he said, and so he said, Lord, I'm just going to say your judgments are right. Whatever it is that you have done in my life right now, even though it's difficult, I'm going to thank you for it. Because he says in one place, in all things, give thanks. In everything that goes on in your life, give thanks for it. And let me tell you what has to happen in order for me to give thanks for some things. At midnight, there has to be a paradigm shift. There has to be something about my mind that is, this is the way that I'm thinking right now. There needs to be something about my mind that changes, that shifts a little bit. And now my psyche is a little bit different. The only way that I can give thanks to the Lord is that something takes place here or here. Yeah. My head or my heart. All right, and then there's a shift, and as it shifts, I can say, all right, Lord, I can give you thanks for this. What can I give the Lord thanks for? That it's no worse, number one, that it's no worse than it is. That's one thing I can thank the Lord for. So my mind has to adjust. It has to change. Another thing I can thank the Lord for, I'm not dead. All right, this hasn't killed me. So I'm not dead, so I'm still in the land of the living. That's another thing. You can just go down. You got a head. You're not living out under the bridge. I was thinking some of the worst weather, as far as I'm concerned. I used to work with my father, and we'd work out in the weather. It was okay for it to snow, as long as it was snowing. And it was okay for it to be hot. But the weather that I hated working in the most was cold, rainy weather that just soaks to the bone. We had that the other day, didn't we? And it was cold. And then you're wet on top of that. So what can I thank the Lord for? We complain about that. We complain about then we complain when it's too hot. Lord, have mercy on us. What are we going to be thankful for? Lord, thank you for the cold weather. I don't like the cold weather, rainy weather, but you suppose God made a judgment that right now Sacramento needs cold, rainy, soggy weather. And I can thank the Lord that I have a house that I can go over to the wall and I can flick it on heat and it warms me up. I can throw my clothes in a washer and in a dryer in an hour or so. I can be thankful for that. There is a whole lot that I can be thankful for in the midst of a whole lot that's going wrong. Amen. All right. I saw a man went up to the store the other day while it was raining, and he's under the awning of the store right there up the street, and he's sleeping under cover. I've got a bed. I can be thankful for that. How dare we not be thankful for it? Oh, it's easier said than done, Brother Darrell, it is. And I understand that. And I'm here to tell you, yes, I know it's easier said than done. But how dare we not thank the Lord? How dare we not rise up at midnight and thank the Lord for what we're going through? Oh, brother, your family's sick. Thank the Lord for that. Why can't you thank the Lord? Brother Darrell, that don't make any sense to thank the Lord for it. I don't know. Find some. They're alive.
We have children to be sick.
You have children to be sick. There's something to be thankful for. So it says at midnight, now we have the option of holding our heads down in the darkest of times and saying, man, oh Lord, this is just life. Have you ever said that? Life. And it's just whacking me over. And we can complain about it. I can hold my head down or I can get up and I can say, all right, thank you, Lord, for find something to be thankful for. All right, this is this week that we celebrate. I think it's a good for us to have Thanksgiving. Yes. Celebrate that. All right, let's go a little further. Let's go to Acts, the 16th chapter, 25th verse. We'll start there. Acts 16, verse 25, 62. No, I'm sorry. 16, 25.
Acts 16:25.
Yes.
At midnight.
See, we're talking about it again. So where is Paul and Silas? They're in jail, in the prison. All right, they're in the middle of the prison. All right, and what happens at midnight?
Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises
unto God. How can you sing in the middle of a prison? You get whipped. You get falsely accused. It seems like the whole political system is against you. They're throwing you in jail because you're speaking for the Lord. And the only reason that you're in jail is because you're doing God's work. That's the only reason that they're there. They're doing God's work. And at midnight, right at the time, I wonder if Paul started getting a little despondent and the thought came to his mind, well, it's just not fair. I don't know. Maybe it is, because the devil will present certain things to your mind. And I wonder if he said, all right, how do I combat this? What did God give me? What are the tools that this gospel gives me to be able to combat this despondency and this depression that is coming over me? All of us have been in those kinds of places, right?
They thrust them into the inner prison. And made their feet fast in the stocks.
So they are not just in prison. They're in They're in chains. They're in shackles. They're bound in the inner prison, in the most sacred place. They're bound, and I don't know if Paul was excited about it or if he was whatever. I don't know what it was, but let's just project. I probably would have some issue with it. I would probably, the thought would probably cross my mind, Lord, I'm doing your will. Why? Why are you allowing these things to happen to me? Lord, forgive me for that. That's just how, I don't know. I've never been in that place, but I'm wondering if that's what I would have done. And I'm wondering if that's what Paul would have done, because you see, what the Bible is all about is about people just like us dealing with what God has given them to deal with, to go through whatever issues of life that they have to go through. The gospel gives us the ability to go through those kind of issues. He got the Spirit of God in him, that the Lord is in Paul, and the Spirit says, Paul, do not get despondent. Do not get depressed. Do not get down. So what does he do? The Lord gives him a tool to praise. Praise is a tool. Not only is it a tool, but it is a weapon against Satan. All right. So what Paul does, Paul says, all right, how do I fight this thing that's coming against me? They've dropped me in the war zone. How do I fight against it? So what I'm going to do, Silas, you know that song? Such and such. Yeah, that one. Let's sing it. And they begin to sing, and there was harmony. I guess there was harmony. Maybe they couldn't sing at all. It didn't matter whether they could sing. They made a joyful noise to the Lord, and the Lord heard, and the Lord responded. Right? Why? Because at midnight, when the deepest in the inner prison with shackles all around their feet, God was listening, and God, in his judgment, in his righteous judgment, knew that this is what Paul and them needed. Now, was it for just Paul and them? Yes, it was a blessing for Paul, but we'll see on down the line that it was not only a blessing for Paul. And let me tell you something else. It was not only a blessing for the jailer, it's a blessing for us. Because 2,000 and something years later, I'm preaching about it, and how many people have preached now about it down through the ages and inspired so many other people that are going through it. So what you're going through may not just be for you. Amen. It may be for somebody else. And the Lord's going to bring you out, but it may be for somebody else too. All right. So at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and they sang praises. So Paul is singing and Silas is singing, and the prisoners heard him. They weren't trying. Well, it's midnight. So, you know, sometimes we have sometimes our neighbors have parties. Yeah. All right. Yeah. And they have certain music. It has a beat to it, and they're singing well past midnight, and we hear it. You know, I'm laying down and it's like, okay, when is the party going to be over? And oftentimes it goes far too long as far as I'm concerned. When they started is too long. But here is the situation. It says, and the prisoners heard them. So they weren't trying to keep silent. It's midnight and we don't want to wake anybody else up. They didn't care about what everybody else was going through, did they? Lord, help us. And suddenly there was, and the prisoners heard them. So they heard all of this. And then what happened?
And suddenly there was.
This is God's response. Do you realize that every time you go through something, God responds?
Amen.
God is responding to it. You may not see it. It may not be as dramatic as this is, but God responds to it. I want you to know that when you start thanking and praising God and singing praises and fighting with the weapons that God has given you, you know, a weapon of praise, a weapon of praise, a weapon of thanksgiving. Those are weapons. Those are not just things that we do. Those are weapons against the enemy, against the forces that are coming into your mind. There are weapons that I begin to sing, and these songs go over and over in my head, and it drives out the clouds and the gloom and the depression and the enemy. You just start singing. It's hard to be depressed and sing at the same time.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about that? You know what else is hard to do? You know, I've tried this. I've tried it. When you get down what our tendency is when we get depressed is to look down, right? Life. But I want you to do something. I want you to do absolutely nothing else. Next time that starts happening, I want you to lift up your head and I want you to look up. And do you know there seems like there's something that literally falls away? Because when you're looking up, because that's where your help is coming from. Your help is not coming from down below. And when you lift up your head like this, there is something about it that is harder to be depressed and be in a strong state of depression when you just lift up and look toward the Lord. Try it. You don't believe it? Try it the next time the enemy comes against you. All right, so he says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. This is God's response. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Now, you know what? You know why everyone's bands were loose? Was because there were two men that were in that prison that had that affected everybody else in that prison. When you're in a bad place, and rather than you just saying, yeah, it's raining again and I'm upset and this is happening and life just isn't fair and all this, you begin to think and praise the Lord, it's going to have more of an effect on than just you. People are going to say, why are you so happy? Well, because of and you begin to give your testimony about it, yeah. It's going to affect their bondage and their imprisonments and the things that they're dealing with. It's going to affect them in some kind of way. I want you to be encouraged today that God is going to take you through whatever it is, but he wants you to do what is difficult for you to do, and that's to praise him in the midst of at midnight, right in the middle of it, at the darkest point. God, they begin to praise God, and God responds every time.
Yes, he does.
They loose their shackles, not only of their shackles, but everybody else's, all right?
And the keeper of the prison,
waking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the spirit... prisoners in fact. So he was saying, listen, I'm a dead man anyway. I don't want to go through the torture. Some people commit suicide because they don't want to be tortured to death. And so this is what this man did. I was responsible. I fell asleep during my watch, and I know that I'm going to be in trouble, so I might as well just get it over with right now. But what happens?
But Paul cried
with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Why didn't everybody make a run for the exit? I'm out of here. Because there was something that held them. There was something that was mesmerizing about the gospel message. This is the gospel in action. There's something mesmerizing. Who are these guys? Yeah. I was bound. It's the gospel message. I was bound. And now all of a sudden I'm free. Why? I want to know more about whatever you all have. I want you to tell me about it.
Right.
Because I was bound. I was in a prison. I was there with you. And now all the doors are open and all of the chains are off. Please explain that to me. It makes no sense, does it? But that's the gospel message. That's the gospel in action. That when we're thankful for the things that God has done and God has given us, it's going to affect me and it's going to affect somebody around me. That's my sphere of influence. Yeah. Let me tell you, if you're saved today, it's impacting your sphere of influence. Those people that you're around, when there's just a little bubble that you walk around and you just enclose people and you're just a little sprinkle of love here and a sprinkle of love there and some encouragement here. You are affecting. That's why we need more Christians. That's why we need more people that are real, not just people that say they're Christians and live any old kind of way. That's not what it's about. It's about the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here in Sacramento. That's what God wants us to do here, not just here in Sacramento, but all over the world. I'm impacting people that I don't even know I'm impacting right now.
Yes.
Because wherever I am, we're the salt of the earth. We're a light that's set upon a hill that cannot be hid. That's me. That's you.
Absolutely.
And you know what? People need that. They want the light. And this is why they're drawn to you, Brother Randall. They're drawn to you. They're drawn to all of us. Why? Because we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth.
Yes.
And it's affecting everybody that's around. Do you know one of the reasons that the world has not come to an end now is because of us? We're holding it back. We have that kind of a power with the Lord. The Lord, you don't think we do? Let's go back to Abraham, right? Remember Abraham and Lot? Lot is a type of the end of the world. Fire and brimstone is going to come down on it. But Abraham sought God and said, Lord, if I found 10, would you do it? If I found 5, if I just found a few, would you do it? And the Lord says, I'll hold them back. I'll do it. The Lord is doing that for us, saints. I want you to know that.
Yeah.
It's part of the gospel message. The Lord is holding us so that other folks can come and get saved. But we got to do our part. We have to do our part. Lord, help us. Help us to do our part. All right. What did he say? And then he called for a light and sprang up and came in trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I, why? Why did he say, what must I do to be saved? You know why he said, what must I do to be saved? Because Paul was saved. Paul was saved. And Paul showed him what it looked like. And at the most difficult time in Paul's existence right there, at midnight when it was dark and dank and dreary and bound and chained, rather than Paul giving in to that, Paul began to praise and give thanks to the Lord. And the Lord did something, y'all. The Lord responded. He'll respond to you. He'll respond to me. He will. All right. And so this man said, what must I do to be saved? I want what you got. Now, what do I have to do to get what you got? Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Do you know, I'm going to tell you something. People want to say that nobody wants this anymore. Everybody wants it.
Yes.
Every person in the world wants what you have. If you are saved and sanctified and living a holy and a righteous life, every person that you will ever meet wants to be just like you. We just have to convince them sometimes. Lord, help us. All right, so what did he say here?
What must I do to be saved?
They said,
believe on the Lord.
Now, this is the gospel message in action. At midnight, in the middle of the night, this is the gospel message in action, all right?
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ,
and thou shalt be saved, and it's going to affect your house as well, even though everybody is individual. And you got to get saved. And I'm not, my children aren't saved simply because I am. They've got to do it. But you know what? Excuse me. Let me rephrase that. I believe I have an influence with my family. And the reason that they're living for the Lord is because I showed them how to do it. And the reason I'm living for the Lord is because I had parents that showed me how to do it. And the reason they live for the Lord is because we have Jesus. And we go all the way back to Jesus, who showed us how to do it. Isn't that wonderful? This is the gospel message. It doesn't matter how dark and dank and how bad things are. It's the gospel message. It'll work anywhere. It'll work in Africa, India, South America, North America, all over the Europe. It'll work anywhere. It doesn't matter. It's simple. Isn't that wonderful? That's the gospel. All right?
And they spake unto him the word of the Lord.
They spake unto him the word of the Lord. So what do I have to do to get saved? So believe on the Lord Jesus and repent of your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus. This is the gospel message, and thou shalt be saved. It's simple. We want to make it a real complicated thing. Just stop sinning. That's all you have to. And people want to say, well, it's so hard to live. Say, well, it's hard not to. I've been on both ends. And it's hard not to. And what I found is it's harder not to. Because you don't have any help. You get yourself in so many troubles and so many pickles that you're trying to get out of, and what you find out you're trying to get out of, and you're digging yourself deeper into it. I've done that. I've been there, done that. And so, has it been difficult living for the Lord? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. It is. But always remember that it's much easier than not living for Him. All right. Read. Read, please.
And they spake unto him the word of the Lord.
They spake unto him the word of the Lord. And all that was in his house.
And he took them the same hour.
Now, you expect he was supposed to take them out to jail and take them home and feed them? You suppose he was getting in trouble? He said, well, you know what? This is just so wonderful. I'm going to take you. I want you to preach to my family. And we're going to, the opportunity is right now. So he goes home and he wakes everybody up.
He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes.
Washed their stripes. They had beaten them. This is a hard, they were beaten before they got into the stocks. Before they got into prison. This is a difficult time. And I would be, there would be something in your mind that you're fighting. And now the Lord is showing him, okay,
yes.
This is why you went through all of that. Now the man, probably he had something to do with the beating. What did he do? He didn't care about him before because he didn't wash his stripes. But there's something about when we give our heart to the Lord, I just love you. I love you. I mean, I don't care who you are. There's something about you that I love, and I'm going to do whatever it takes for that love to show. So here's what he's done, right?
Washed their stripes
and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now, they told him quite a story here, that at midnight, these guys started singing, and they were singing and praising God. Whether they were on key, off key, it don't even matter, but they were praising God. And then all of a sudden, the door swung open, and this was a type. There's another word that I'm trying to get, but I can't think of it. This was a type of salvation. Where I'm bound by sin, and then all of a sudden, when I accept the Lord,
set free.
I'm set free.
Yeah.
Even if I'm still in prison,
right.
I'm free.
Right.
Even if I'm still in confined to a space that I can't get out of, yeah. I am free. It doesn't matter. You can't take it away from me either. Right. No one can take it away from me.
Right.
They can do whatever they want to, but they can't take it away from me. All right, read.
And rejoice,
believing in God with all his house.
And when it was day,
magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told these, saying to Paul, the magistrate sent, let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. Now, the Lord made their release complete.
Yes.
And it was the Lord.
Yes.
The morning happened. Do you suppose the Lord, at midnight, those magistrates were on their bed thinking that they knew, we did that man wrong. Do you suppose God talked to them? Or do you suppose that they were, that God dealt with them? And they all come to the same conclusion. Those men did nothing. So we're going to let them go. Mm-hmm. Thank the Lord. All right, so there's a couple other points that I want to make. I want to go to Hebrews 13, chapter and 15th verse. It says, Hebrews 13, 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. All right, so what does that mean? The sacrifice is really something that you give up, right? Something that you have that you give up. And so sometimes it's a sacrifice for us to thank God. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm going through something that's really difficult. And you, Brother Darrell, you're saying that when I'm in stocks, I'm in the middle of the prison and I'm hurting. My back has been beaten for no reason. I'm still and they put me in stocks as if I'm going to go someplace. If I'm going to break out, I've been wrongly accused. You know, there's a brother that was in prison for 20 years or so, and for a crime he didn't commit. He's been to church. And that's a difficult thing. It's a difficult time. And I'm supposed to thank the Lord for all of this that I'm going through. And the hard answer is, yeah. But you suppose that the people down through the years, the people of the jailer's family would have been saved if Paul hadn't gone through this? You suppose that they were people that talked about the Lord and talked about what happened, all those people that were in prison? Now, y'all, I know this is real, the prisoners are saying. I know it's real. I was there.
Yes.
I was there when these shackles came off of me, and the only way that they came off was those men were in there singing, and they were praising God. Mm-hmm. And then this is what happened. The jailer took them home, gave them some food. His family got saved. They brought him back and they put him back in the prison. I don't suppose they locked him up. I don't think they would have been able to lock him up. But the Lord is doing that for you in some kind of way. May the Lord help us to be willing that whatever I'm going through, whatever the difficulty is, I'm going to sacrifice and I'm going to give praise to you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Let me give praise to you. All right. In everything, we mentioned that scripture, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Let's go to, for conclusion, I'm going to read a familiar story. It talks about here the fruit of our lips, right? The fruit of our lips. Have you ever gone to the store and the fruit is just not very good, gnarly? The lettuce has got black. Do you buy that?
No.
The bananas are overripe. They already got black spots on them. We don't do that, do we?
No.
So what do? We pick through and we find what works. If we reject this fruit, do you suppose God will reject ours if it comes gnarly and black and already rotten and you've already used it on something else? You suppose God is going to accept that as our sacrifice? No, he's not going to accept that. All right, we'll move into our conclusion. Thank you for your patience. We'll go to Jonah. I want to read a couple of scriptures in Jonah because I think that this is very important. Jonah 2 verse 1. Now we know the story of Jonah. If you don't know the story of Jonah, go to Jonah, start at verse 1. chapter 1 and start at verse 1. I'll just kind of give a synopsis of it. What Jonah did, the Lord told Jonah to go down to Nineveh and to preach the gospel there. And what Jonah decided to do is go in the complete opposite direction. And so what happened is the wind came up and they tried to save the ship, end up throwing Jonah overboard. A big fish swallowed Jonah. And now Jonah's in the belly of the whale because of his disobedience to the Lord. Now, I want to start at the second verse. This is what happened. Second chapter, first verse. This is what happened when Jonah went through this. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. And thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas. Now, sometimes the problems that we go through are our own fault. He would never have been in the belly of that whale or that fish, whatever it was. He would never have been in the belly of it had he obeyed the Lord in the first place. So sometimes the problems that we face are our problems. And we have to ask the Lord to forgive us for being disobedient or not strictly. Sometimes we're not disobedient, we're just not strictly obedient. You understand?
Yeah.
There's a difference. But it's still the needle is still pointing to disobedience in the favor of disobedience. All right? Read, please.
And the floods come past me about.
All thy billows, thy wave passed over me.
Then said I,
I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compass me about. Now he's praying. This is a prayer that Jonah is praying from the fish's belly. All right.
The depth closed me round about.
Seaweeds wrapped around his head.
I went down
to the bottom of the mountains.
The earth
with her bars was about me forever. I just thought I was going to die. It was just, this is the end. Yet, Lord, hast thou brought up my life from corruption. I'm in a bad place, Lord. And you brought my life up from corruption. O Lord, my God.
When my soul fainted within me,
I remembered you, Lord. When I got to the place, the lowest depth. Now, I don't believe anybody physically can go any lower than what Jonah went. He went all the way down to the bottom of the sea, and it's a long way down there. You remember the submarine that they tried to go in, and it imploded and messed up not a couple of years ago or so? You've got to have, God knows how to get you down to the lowest spot where you are listening to him. And sometimes the reason he has to take us to those low places is because we're so hard-headed. We're hard-headed. When we're hard-headed with our parents, what did we get? We got in trouble, didn't we? We got popped upside the head, thumped, whipped, whatever it was, but we got something that we, that made us think,
right.
All right, read.
When my soul fainted within me,
I remembered the Lord. Now my prayer came unto thee,
into
thy holy temple.
They that
observe lying vanities forsake their mercy. Now again, this is forsake their own mercy, Isn't that something?
Yeah.
All right.
But I will sacrifice unto thee.
What will I do? I will sacrifice unto thee
with the voice of
the Lord. I didn't want to do. I didn't want to go and preach in Nineveh. I didn't want to do it. But I'm going to sacrifice this, and I'm going to be thankful that you sent me to do something that I don't want to do.
I will pay that.
That I have vowed.
Salvation
is from the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, you know what's interesting about this? Jonah is the only preacher that I have ever read or understood that when he preached to these people, every person got saved. Every person. I've never had that experience. But I've never been in a fish down at the bottom of the ocean either. All right. Now, if the Lord took me there, I think it would do something different to my preaching. It would.
Right.
It would make, and the Lord spit the You're in this place, and the Lord takes you to the lowest point, and now you come back up. Let me tell you, when you come back up, there is some treasures in those dark places that you cannot, that are beyond our comprehension. There's treasures down there. When you get in those dark, find those treasures. And so Jonah came up. Lord spit the fish. He was supposed to take him 3 days, I believe, to get some to get to Nineveh. It took him one. He was moving, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I'm not going to waste any time. And he's going to preach to him, and he preached to him what the Lord gave to him, and every person from the king on down repented and said, "I don't." The cattle didn't even eat. All of them fasted and asked the Lord, Lord, have mercy on us. Saints, this is why we go through some difficult places. Sometimes you don't think that it really matters. And you think that, well, why me, Lord? And I'm complaining about it. Now, this is one of those hard sermons. It's easy. It's an easy sermon now. And it's an easy for us to say, yes, thank the Lord. This is just where I am. But let me tell you, when it gets down to it, to where the rubber meets the road, in the midst of the difficult times, remember that you have something on hand, that God gives you something on hand that enables you to do what he's requiring you to do. If he requires you to do it, he's going to make certain that you have all of the equipment in order to combat everything that comes against you. That's the wonderful thing about the Lord. So next time you're at midnight, in the darkest spot, say, Lord, give me a song. Give me a song. Put a song in my mouth, Lord. Give me where I can sacrifice sacrifice with thanksgiving. I can be thankful for what you're allowing me to go through. Now, Lord, I know it's not easy. And I'm telling you, it's not going to be easy. But it's going to be easier than not doing it. It is the easiest way out. That I can guarantee you. I can't guarantee you it's easy, but I can guarantee you that it's the easiest way out. May the Lord help us. Pray for me.